Love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. What have we just read together? The inerrant, infallible, all-sufficient Word of God. May the Lord help us today, perhaps like He has not in some time, see what genuine love is and see the healthiness, the holiness of demonstrating that to the family of faith we call Bethel Baptist Church. Thank you. Please be seated. Just to remind you, because we've had a little bit of some interruptions in the preachings, not interruptions, we've had other people preaching, but interruptions in this series, all right? And we started off the series, this idea of one anothering, living in a gospel community, intentionally changing the original name of it from descriptives to participles to actions. One another tells who. One anothering is an activity concerning the who. Life in a gospel community is a snapshot. Living in a gospel community is a video. And so we changed even the major theme of it. And underneath that, so far, we have looked at Jesus commands us to love one another, John 13, 31 to 35. Then the love of God as the motivation of love one another. Notice you've got the command to be obedient, and the love of God for you motivates you. Third, loving one another as friends of Jesus. Then loving one another as evidence of faith in Jesus Christ, the marks of faith, part one and part two. And that brings us to where we are today. Now what I'm trying to do is lay the foundation of all the love one another passages before we move forward in the other one another's that are there. I want to commend to you a book. Linda Hare put me on this book some time back. It's by Max Lucado, How Happiness Happens. And he's discussing, the thesis is that truly happy people are happy because they give happiness away. And he focuses on the one another's in the New Testament. He takes a different approach than I do. I started with the joy acrostic, Jesus, others, and you, and then laying the foundation with the one another's. He starts with the other matters, and he ends on love one another. But it's a tremendous read. Karen and I had the opportunity to travel a little bit this last couple of days, and we were able to take in the whole book in audio. Just really great, really great. Well, thank you, Linda. You need to get it if you can. It's a great read. It'll really bolster and focus and expand upon some of these things. Now today I want us to look at these verses 9 to 13, I think break out in two different matters. There's the call to genuine love, verse 9. That's what we're going to look at today. And then Lord willing, next week we'll pick up 10, 11, 12, 13, that genuine love has a familial nature to it. If it's going to be familial love, if it's going to be 1 Corinthians 13 love, then it's got to be genuine love. And we're going to begin looking at that today. There's verse 9, let love be genuine. I think the Christian Standard Bible says, let love be unhypocritical or not hypocritical. That's the word, actually. The word genuine is the antonym. It's the opposite of being not hypocritical. Remember, hypocritical is one of those words in the New Testament that has not been translated when you read it. It has been transliterated. It is from the Greek word hypokrates. And if you're going to take that word hypokrates and anglicize it, make it English, it becomes hypocrite. I would remind you that the word comes out of the Greek theater of the first century in which Paul lived. If you were going to see a comedy, you could expect masks with an exaggerated smile on it. If you were going to see a tragedy, you would expect masks with a huge frown on it. But the point of the word hypocrite was they were behind the mask. They were pretending. They were play-acting. They were carrying out a role. Parenthetically, I think it's interesting how people who make their living memorizing lines someone else wrote. That's what actors do out in Hollywood. How suddenly they want to be the experts on all topics. And I'm thinking, you don't have an original thought. I mean, everything comes out of your mouth on the screen. Someone else wrote. Anyway, hypocrite. Let love be the opposite of that. Well, you can't love one another behind a mask. Well, you can pretend to. So the first thing you have to do is you have to take off the mask. You've got to be willing to let people know who you are. Could you name everybody in here? Could you call the name of everybody in here? I'm not asking that to set you up. I'm not asking that to scold or shame you. I'm asking that because if your answer is yes, then I want to challenge you, step forward and provoke others to love and good works. If your answer is no, then I say to you delightfully, man, you've got some one anothering to do, don't you? That's a great way to connect. Let's take the mask off today. Do not be ashamed to walk up to someone in this family and say, I ought to know your name, but I don't. Please help me. And I don't think the body constituted here would give you any grief about that. I think they would gladly tell you their name. Years ago, when I was first here, 14 years ago, I was here about two or three Sundays, and someone walked up to me and said, I bet you don't know my name, do you? Now, I wanted to give that person Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, but in an interesting providence, I did know that person's name because several people said to me, you need to watch out for her. And then you discover why. So I called her name. It was a mixture of, you do know it, surprise, with, you do know it, disappointment, so I couldn't play gotcha with you. Take the mask off. If you can't think of somebody's name, ask them. Say it back to them. Spell it out. And why? Why do you make such a big deal, preacher? Because I promise you, if you went home this evening and there was a stranger in the house and you didn't know who the stranger was, weren't sure why they were there, you might not pay attention to them. Or you might say, no, I'm going to engage them. I'm going to find out. Well, brothers and sisters, the fact that we are brothers and sisters means there should be no stranger in this house. Let love, and by the way, love here is the word agape. It's one of the few places in the New Testament where a word agape for love is followed by Philadelphia for love. We're going to look at the Philadelphia aspect next week. But that's the family. That's the brotherly love language. So let agape love, that unconditional love, that love that commits itself to people whether they're loving or not. That's what Jesus did to you and me. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. He showed agape love to us. And that's what Paul's talking about. Let agape be without masks. Be transparent. Be vulnerable. Be open. Ask people about their story. Be willing to share your story.
Paul's just spent 11 chapters climbing the highest peaks of Orthodox Christian theology. He says, but this is not ever stuff to be held in the head. Verse 12, or chapter 12, verse 1. I plead with you in view of, what was Paul's one word summary for the great panoply of Christian doctrine? In view of God's mercies, his love of pity, his care and concern for the hurting. In view of that, in view of the great mercies of God shown to sinners in his plan of redemption, you, agape, with the mask off, as family, you know good and well you act differently around a stranger than you do around family. I mean, it's just a part of the, called the courtesy of the culture. Commit today. If I've been purchased by the blood of Christ and brought into the family of faith, then this is my family. And I will finish my days getting to know my family, letting my family get to know me. The mask comes off today. And in love being unhypocritical, love being genuine, you will hate what is evil. You will detest it. There is much evil in our culture. And I have to guard my heart that I don't hate the culture. That somehow I manage to love not the world, that is the world system, its devilish, demonic, anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Scripture, anti-wholesomeness, pervasive attitude, which we see everywhere. That I will not love that. I will detest that. At the same time, loving those who've been taken captive by the enemy of our souls to push the agenda forward. Hate what is evil. And then hold fast to what is good. The picture here, it's the word for cleave, which comes from a Greek word for glue. You know, if you're familiar with the Uncle Remus stories, the characters, Brer Fox, the wily, clever, devious fellow, Brer Bear, the kind of slow accomplice, Brer Rabbit, always the target of Brer Fox's schemes. If you know those stories, you know that at one point, Brer Fox decides to build a little figure, and he pretends to be talking to Brer Rabbit, and Brer Rabbit gets frustrated and takes a swing at who? Tar Baby. When he takes a swing at Tar Baby, his hand is stuck. And he can't pull it loose, and so he decides to take another swing at Tar Baby. Now both hands are stuck. He decides to use his feet to pry himself loose from Tar Baby. Now both feet are stuck. He is stuck to Tar Baby. Well, let me shift the analogy a little bit. We ought to want to stick like glue to that which is good. And the word here for good is the word for that which is morally right, which is virtuous. In other words, in our detesting of evil, we cling tenaciously to what is good. And the first thing, if you follow the law of antecedents, the first thing that we should be clinging to is agape love. But you see, he's going to follow clinging, detesting that which is evil, clinging to what is morally good, upright, virtuous, with another exhortation, with another word for love. Love one another with brotherly affection. My point is this, that clinging like you're glued to that which is morally good and right is surrounded by the exhortation to love unconditionally, agape love, and to love as family, Philadelphia love. Good. It is good to be a family. Perhaps you have wonderful experiences from family growing up. It is good to deepen those and heighten those in the family of faith. Perhaps you have terrible experiences growing up. Verbal abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, dysfunctional family, hatred and bitterness and strife. Then bring to this family all that you desire to see growing up. Love, laugh, live, help. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, bear one another's burdens. When we open our eyes and perk up our ears, one anothering becomes a matter, the opportunities of which are available to us regularly. You have an opportunity to one another when we leave here today, walk out of this facility, to go into the dining area. Whether or not you brought food, doesn't matter. There's a train load of crock pots. Food will be there. But the more important thing is to sit with somebody and talk and listen. And ask things like, how may I pray for you? How long have you walked with the Lord? How long have you been a member of this family of faith? And listen and learn and share. That's one another. That's one another. We build into our disciple-making system here the guarantee that at least once a month you can engage in one another around the table, table fellowship, taking off the mask, clinging to what is good, agape-ing. I don't feel like it. You know what agape love says to that? See, agape love is love undeserved. Love unmerited. Philadelphia love is developed in the context of agape love. Family love. I think a question was posed, is it's impossible to love apart from Christ? I think I saw that on Facebook. Well, we all love, but love apart from Christ is necessarily selfish love. If I don't know Jesus Christ and I love you, I love you because of what of the value that comes to me from you. But if I know Jesus Christ, I love you because the value that was shown to me by Jesus Christ. That while I was not worth his time, worthy of his sacrifice, he loved me. And so that's what agape love looks like in the body of Christ. It's love, undeserved. And there is something transforming about our willingness to love people who haven't earned our love. It changes us for the better. It's what Lucado is getting after When we engage in giving away happiness, happiness fills up to overflowing in us. When we determine to make Jesus first, others next, and ourselves, yourself last, joy is the fruit of that formula. But it takes a step. It takes a move. If you sit there saying, well, if anybody ever wants me to love them, all they got to do is come tell me. That's not agape love. Agape love left heaven seeking, searching, sacrificing, saving. If we're going to be like our Father, like our Savior, evidence that we have the Spirit within us, agape love will be cultivated. Challenge you this as we leave. Read 1 Corinthians 13 again. Read through the rest of this list, and this is in chapter 12. Read through this and pray, dear God, help me to love like you do. Help me to see between the lines. Focus on the truth. Remove the barriers. Be driven by your truth. The truth today, agape love, is to be unhypocritical. Take off the mask. Be yourself. Be the change. You want to see change here? You be the change that you want to see here and see what God will do. Hate evil. The evil of complacency. The evil of separation. Cling like glue to the good. Purpose that somebody will walk away from an encounter with you with a better understanding of that which is morally good and virtuous. And they will be blessed because you have taken seriously the outworking of agape love, that we are blessed to be a blessing. Let's pray.